So there is no doubt that it's only conditioned, but it's like that. It is lopa. Lopa is lopa anyway. Dosa is dosa anyway, but not me. Yeah, no wrong view.
Yes, as soon as now we think I, the only thing is we don't understand there's no self. The things I. Then as a sort of other, you're still thinking I am this and I do that and I look good, but you know that it's not someone who is not a me that thinking that, it's just those thoughts arising and falling away.
Yes.
So anything can arise except wrong view, no more, absolutely. Did you say that it's safe to be a sotapanna?
Not safe, Ajahn. I just like the thought because it means I can still have all my lopa and phalan, but know that I'm sort of like...
It's like
can you still do, can
you still falling back.
Can you still modeling agency?
Even so, nama and rupa, awareness can arise, see? Naturally.
Seems like a good deal. Because actually, I mean, you don't really want to become arahant. You can't because you've got too much lopa to want to be an arahant.
And even right now, for those who haven't accumulated conditions enough, they really don't want to be a sotapanna. Otherwise, it would be motivated by lopa again. It's not their true nature to have no wrong view of reality because they don't have right understanding enough. So how can they think that they would like to attain Nibbana and to become a sotapanna without no understanding? See, but the person who develops understanding realizes everything as it is. Lopa as lopa, non-lopa as non-lopa, dosa as dosa, conceit as conceit, in order to eradicate the idea of self permanently. So they are not afraid of being aware of any reality which is conditioned and appear.
They're not afraid of certain realities. Like an example about, you know, like isn't it kind of feeling afraid how you would react if you know, you're afraid of your own cheetahs and that's
well, it's
not minding about those, not being afraid of those accumulations.
It's interesting that you don't lie or steal, because you know that it's, that there's no self that lies and steals. You can still have the thought I'm beautiful, but you don't. You wouldn't lie to protect yourself, like we do, you know. Sometimes you say something because you don't want to let people think that, oh, you know, I did it. So you sort of cover for yourself, you don't tell the truth or something. But as a sotapanna, you wouldn't need to do that because you know there's no one to protect.
Couldn't you also say, though, one doesn't want to lose one's temper or go mad because it's so unpleasant for other people?
Everything can arise by conditions. But there can be the understanding of that very moment with awareness to go on further more about developing understanding of the details of defilements. Because for a sotapanna, he runs life as usual because the degree of understanding is only that level until awareness is aware of more deeper or grosser defilement to see that it's dangerous. Because right now, for the person who know nothing about realities, they cannot see the danger of having avicca, ignorance of seeing and hearing right now. But for those who study and knows that to live in the world without understanding of what appears is quite, how can we say, very foolish person, not knowing anything which appear at all. This is conditioned for the development of understanding, not by the self, but by such understanding, that to live without understanding from birth to death, to see and not knowing anything about seeing, and the story after seeing and hearing and so forth. So by having such understanding, this is the foundational condition for awareness to aware. to be aware and develop understanding. So a sotapanna who has reached the stage of sotapanna still have conditions for awareness to be aware of more subtle defilements, to see the danger of the subtle defilement more than those who doesn't have any understanding of realities at all.
But what we were talking about earlier is not the subtle one, the gross defilements. Sometimes when you see
the danger, but
it's difficult to accept. One sees the danger, it's not possible to avoid.
That is thinking about the danger only, not the seeing or understanding the reality, which is medium or subtle of course. More and more, and understanding the realities better and better, and seeing more and more danger of realities which are unwholesome when it arises at the moment.
When you say when to be aware more and more, you mean that naturally it will
naturally
develop?
Yeah.
No need to do anything?
No, because if there is the idea of it's necessary to do something, that's wrong. Wrong practice.
One could say continuing to develop the right conditions for awareness.
Naturally, by conditions. And it doesn't take as long time as the person who hasn't become a sotapanna, because he has understood.
Oh, you're talking about sotapanna, mm-hmm. I see.
But it, when we say not take long, it's different from you, the term we use, because from being a sotapanna to being an arahata, some people take quite a long time in many lives too, depending on conditions.
Isn't it the idea of, let's see, the Mahayana school, the Bodhisattva? You think Bodhisattva is not really a sotapanna? I mean, they tend to think they're in control, but continually study Dhamma or try to have understanding. It's very much conditioned by what they hear. It's not really, not in, like, our control.
So, when we understand the cause and the result, even a moment of seeing now is conditioned by karma, previous karma. See, hearing is conditioned by previous karma. So seeing and hearing cannot be under anyone's control. Even you would like very, very much to have heard about Dhamma, but it depends on vipaka too. And for those who have accumulated vipaka to hear Dhamma, can have opportunity to hear, but not like dogs and cats, because they can hear but they cannot understand. When one studies the Patthana, one will understand that each moment when we say that not in one's control, because of understanding of the different conditions, which condition such a very short moment, but it needs lots of conditions. When we see the, how do you say that? Amazement of how reality arises. The amazing.
And especially how amazing it is that the Buddha and the wisdom of the can unravel us and understand this.
By developing awareness only, not trying to change or distort reality at all, just by being aware and study and begin to understand little by little.
What do you think about studying
Abhidhamma?
Studying
Abhidhamma? Yeah. No
accumulation. But listening about Abhidhamma, you have accumulation. Because you listen and you understand and you listen.
I like to listen to it, and I'm keen to sort of like fathom through all the numbers and, you know, just.
I think that the purpose or the objective of studying Abhidharma is the most important thing, because I have met some people who are very interested in studying Abhidharma, but not wanting to understand reality. So they don't know what they really want, just to study like science or history. Yeah, just to wanting to know with interest, like jigsaw and things like that. Yeah. So the right purpose is, why does one want to study, or why does one study?
I'm sure I sometimes study Abhidharma with mixed motives like that, because sometimes I find it interesting, but I have a feeling sometimes the interest is motivated just by Lopa, because it is interesting. It's just very interesting. But at other times I know there is correct motives, yeah. But it's not that I can say every time, it's just the right motive, but sometimes it's
that's understood. Why I think that the most important thing is why and how one study Abhidharma, and why do we call it Abhidharma? Because the word Dhamma means reality, which is not self, or one cannot take it for self at all. By knowing this, one develops understanding to understand this very moment, the true reality, because the true reality is not in the text, it's here. So the more we listen, the more one can taste or develop or prove that it's here. When we talk about seeing, it's time to study. At that moment, there is awareness of some degree, at moment of becoming to understand that element which can experience visible object. That's why in the text, Buddha taught a lot about eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind, just all of these, because at moment while people went to see him and they saw him and they heard the teachings, so they could prove, they could understand, they could develop understanding. So by knowing the objective of developing more knowledge on what you call Abhidharma, which means the Dhamma in detail, not just Lopa Dosa, but the characteristic of Lopa and Lopa of what? Through the object which appears in one's life, and how can it arise? Why some people have more and why some people have less?
We were there at the time, we just didn't understand.
When Buddha time.
We were listening, but we just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Still around.
We're
still around trying to get it together. Mm. Put you in the place. You know you're not too bold.
One another to come to study and to listen to the teachings.
But there's no self.
No self.
So what's the point of purpose? Because there's no self properly.
It's no self which help?
It's that cheetah, that helping cheetah, not a self.
If you see what's the best in one's life, would you like to share with the others, like Buddha shared his understanding by teachings, talking about the truth of this moment?
Since there's a very small number of people who understand it, or are even interested in to take it, there's initial interest in some. What was it like?
It's like we were saying before, about from the time of the Buddha to now, it's a long time.
Mm.
And the Buddha predicted the decline, I suppose.
It takes. It you about taking things seriously, and you were saying that it's so useless to take things seriously, because I guess it's because it shows one's attachment to mind. So that with the Dhamma study, it seems that if one doesn't take it seriously to some extent, one will always find something else.
It depends on what you mean by seriously, with lobha or with chanda or with panya. Just the word seriously, so you cannot tell.
Serious can be the dosa.
Or lobha.
Seems like understanding the importance is different.
Like when I couldn't recite this metta stanza, I don't mind even now to try to make it straight, because I know that in Thai, ขอให้ทุกคนมีความสุข let everyone be happy. I just say it by itself because I don't know why it fits on the second line or the third line. I don't mind. I'm not serious about that. So it depends on what you mean by serious. And it's not in my head to try. I won't. Developing metta is more important than being able to recite the stanza.
So would you say that you are serious about developing metta?
I don't know whether you will use that serious, because I cannot drop it when I have time to help the other. I do when I have time to edit something on Dhamma. I do.
When you don't.
Yeah, and when I have friend, and when I go out, I go. I'm not Machi or a monk, because I do not have accumulation.
Yes, I think just accepting one's accumulation, not minding, helps a lot. So whether, like we were saying earlier, whether you're a contented person or a melancholy person, or happy or sad, or just accepting how it's conditioned at this time.
And right understanding can understand, because it has happened already.
Not
so how can
you change it or have it like someone else, or no need to do anything.
How can you understand the kusala of this? No appearance of a kusala. The kusala is a reality. The kusala moments are reality, so the moment they arise, it's available moment to understand the kusala senses.
Any reality is just a conditioned reality. You can't say one is more.
No clinging to kusala.
It helps a lot, I think, to accept others more as they are as well, and not cling to this one because it's so kind, and mind about that one's bad behavior and action.
By understanding that it's not my kusala, it helps. Otherwise, it's my kusala. You like to have it more or something like that. But it's not my kusala. It's just happened by conditions. Kusala is kusala. A kusala. Why don't you like it? Because it's just the same as kusala, because they arise by conditions. Both arise by conditions.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And it's the right attitude to develop with awareness too. Otherwise, you will fall to one another.
Clinging.
Yeah. What about the ambition? And the result of ambition.
Well, we know what Dhamma has to say about it. On a conventional level, there's a disparity, but of course one has confidence in
the moment of seeing and hearing to say, what are the vipagas exactly? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, that's all.
Yes.
The thinking, the ambition, all of these are not the result. they are the conditions to condition result.
What about experiencing praise and
blame?
Is it with Parker also?
The sound which is heard, pleasant or unpleasant, the vipaka. But the story, if you don't think, it does not hurt you. If you think correctly, it can help you to see that at moment of hearing, all right, it's vipaka, but at moment of thinking, it is kusala citta or akusala citta which thinks. Then it turns from akusala into kusala by understanding. It's useless to think about concept.
The distinguishing between the vipaka and jhavana process is, it's got that very like contingency. The vipaka is just there for a moment, so short, and then there's
all the thinking
and so forth that it causes a problem, either useful or unuseful.
And this is the usefulness of studying Abhidhamma, because one understands what moments are vipaka and what moments are not vipaka anymore.
Actually, hearing bad news isn't necessarily...
The sound, the unpleasant sound is the object of vipaka, but the thinking...
It might be a pleasant voice brings the news. I mean, if it's bad news, but pleasant voice, then it's...
That's why the vipaka is so fast, like the flashing of lightning, and the thinking all the time. And one becomes to understand that one lives in one's own thought all the time by the flashing of the sense door, and taking something from the moment of lightning flashing.
And sometimes I think we could even say that we can have kusala vipaka, but have an unpleasant thinking afterwards, like
say, conditioning
akusala thinking, like say Devadatta I'm thinking of, for example, when the Buddha reprimanded him. The Buddha speaking, okay, out of metta, out of wisdom, explaining that Devadatta was going wrong. So it's kusala vipaka, that sound that contacted with the essence of Devadatta, but he unpleasant feeling arises, even though strong kusala vipaka, very strong, hearing the Buddha's voice. And yet the feeling afterwards is unpleasant. The thinking afterwards are kusala. It's quite interesting.
This is why we should distinguish vipaka from kusala and akusala.
Yes.
Otherwise, we think that it's a kusala vipaka, while it is kusala vipaka, but kusala citta follows.
This is all very comforting. I'm on my public bus, standing up, coming to work.
Sure.
Is hardness when you touch.
Yes, and they can be thinking like that.
Yeah, like you touch the delicious tea, and the teacup is hard.
And actually, all day long it's pleasant.
Right. With the idea mixed in all the time. So the vipaka itself is a very short. And besides the body consciousness, the other vipaka cannot bring the pleasant or unpleasant result, feeling at all. Because seeing is accompanied by indifferent feeling, hearing, smelling, tasting. These eight cittas accompanied by indifferent feeling. Only the body sense, the body consciousness alone, that is the real dukkha. That's why this is called dukkha dukkha, because it's still dukkha. While the other comes from dukkha of the defilements only. So one can see the sufferings or dukkha which comes from one's own defilements in the day, not from the body consciousness.
So by far the great majority is from the defilements.
Mm-hmm. But still, without an understanding or studying, no one can see that this is more in one's life in the day than the dukkha dukkha. Is cetasika, lobha is cetasika. Besides the faculty of experiencing reality, the mentalities are cetasikas. Even they are mentality, but they are different. The citta and the cetasikas.
What's the difference between the citta
and the cetasikas? The citta is the faculty of experiencing reality only. It can experience the visible object. It can experience sound. And when we use the word faculty of experiencing, it means that it is the chief function of experience, no matter what the object is. For example, the color of the sea and the sky in darkness, we cannot tell if there is no memory through seeing object. So memory or sanya cetasika arises with each citta. That's why there can be the moment of understanding the difference between the sea and the sky. But if the citta has no faculty of experiencing the object clearly, sanya cannot remember clearly too. That's why no matter what the cetasikas performing the function like contact or memory or feeling or attachment or aversion, these are not citta because they have their own characteristic. Like pasa can just contact, and feeling just can feel, it cannot do anything at all, and memory sanya can just remember. But the citta cannot feel, cannot remember, but it has that faculty of experiencing the object clearly, like different sounds. Pasa, contact, just contact. And citta experience the sound, and sanya cannot contact. It cannot experience the sound like citta because it performs the function of remember, marks the characteristic of the object. So one can see that the citta is called the faculty or the chief of experiencing object because it can experience different objects as different objects. For example, thinking of vitakka. Loosely we use the word citta thinks, but without that cetasika, the vitakka cetasika, citta cannot experience such object. But when vitakka thinks, it performs just a little function of thinking, like leading citta to that object. But citta is that reality which experience whatever contacts. So it's fully experience the object, while the other cetasikas just perform the functions. That's why sometimes we say citta thinks, but actually the other cetasika performing such function, but the citta is the one who fully experiences that object. So at this moment of seeing, there are seven cetasikas together, contact and memory and jetana, volition and other things. But the fully one which experiences object, the one which experiences fully is citta, which sees or which hears the object.
Sometimes it's said the citta sees flavor, the citta.
It depends on how you can help the other to understand the different functions of cetasikas. But citta cannot arise by itself, and cetasika cannot arise by itself. They are conditioned reality. So Cetasika depends on citta, and citta depends on cetasika by anyamanya patriya, a condition which is called anyamanya. Get it? Anyamanya. You know that?
No, I forget the English
translation. It means that...
Association, I think. I think it's association.
The reality which is conditioned depends on the paccaya, the thing which it conditions. And the thing which is conditioned also depends on the thing. Also is the condition for that too. Mutual, yeah, mutual dependent. So just talking about reality right now, it helps one to understand that even in a moment there are many realities arising together. So it depends on awareness, when there is more understanding as the ground or foundation to condition right awareness.
Chitta is the leader in experience, and so if we if there's seeing and then and in the process afterwards. Now, for an arahant, they're seeing, and yet if an arahant was sitting by me and we were looking at the glass on the table, say both of us, we would both, the cheetahs would both experience visible object, same basic visible object. It would look the same. And yet, afterwards, in the processes afterwards, in my case, there would be low power arising with the cheetah in the arahant's case, no low power.
No.
But the, in a sense, the experience, because cheetah is the leader, in some ways the experience
cheetah cannot perform other function besides that function as the leader, if you use that word. The chief in experiencing.
Chief has been a problem.
So citta has to arise all the time because the passing away of the previous one conditions the next one. And it depends on how many cetasikas arise with each different citta by conditions. But citta has to arise. And the other seven cetasikas also have to arise too. No matter you like it or not. No matter you like them or not, they are performing their function now. So there's no way to do anything, just developing understanding only.
If we say just develop understanding, it seems that we don't need much understanding of Dhamma to do that. I mean, just to
there,
basic.
There must be the fundamental understanding.
Fundamental understanding. Once you've got the intellectual understanding, is that all that's needed then?
That's why Buddha taught for 45 years. Just taught and taught and taught to help people to understand this moment.
It's about the nature of understanding to be detached from realities. What exactly does it mean to be detached?
From first taking realities for self, which is wrong view. Realities are not self.
Does that mean the meaning of detached?
Stage by stage. The first stage is from taking realities for self.
It doesn't just mean not clinging.
No. Because no one can stop clinging.
Yeah.
But the first thing to do is developing understanding of reality as reality. Ordinary.
That's right. It can happen. Anyone can be sick at any time, or like your sister can lose a dear one at any time.
Life is very ordinary. Very common.
But it doesn't seem so ordinary at the time, does it?
It is, because
everyone has a difficult reason.
Who will not die? See, everyone.
Everyone, so
who will not
pain
sick
and suffering is the most thing about life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the kind of useful thinking that we can have that may be accompanied by pleasant feeling, but
anywhere, anytime,
yes.
Not in a particular place.
Who will not die? Who will not have illness? Mm-hmm. So on and so forth.
And it's not just a comfort, it's true.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. When someone's so overwhelmed by their thoughts at the time, like your sister, you just think, oh well, everyone will lose a child or whatever. It's so ordinary, it's hard for people to accept at that time when they're overwhelmed.
Only for those who develop right understanding can take it.
One of the most impressive things my mother said that she's heard, as I told her that when Khun Sujit's husband died, Khun Sujit told me that she had a lot of grief, and Khun Sujit and Sujit were just grieving over thin air.
And it's just the wind passing.
Yeah, something like that. And Khun Sujit said after that her grief was a lot much less. And I told my mother this, and she thought it over a lot, and she said that she finds it really excellent. Just a simple, relatively simple.
For someone else.
For someone else.
They would just find it shocking, you're just grieving over thin air. Someone else would.
Someone else might.
Yeah. Well, again, talking in the conventional world, if someone is unkind to us or cause us harm or something, we could say, well, it's my vipaka that this happened.
Or it's your kilesa.
Or.
Yeah. Which thinks over it. With unpleasant feeling.
Well, it might not be with unpleasant feeling. Mm-hmm. It may not be with unpleasant feeling.
If you,
I'm saying, with one way of dealing with it or reacting to it is to consider that it's cause and effect and so forth.
Yeah.
Or you might say, well, one should react to it in some more positive way.
But that's minding again about that's not. You say one should react in a more positive way.
Instead of preparing or thinking ahead, what about developing understanding of vipaka and defilements after vipaka? That is one's own defilement. If one hurts, if there is no kusala, it has to be a kusala. And one is accumulating a kusala. Not let go the sound and the thought which has passed already.
But conventionally, just letting go might be regarded as a weak response to that situation.
This is thinking about what would happen when it doesn't happen yet. Developing right understanding now, and right understanding will arise at that moment when there are conditions. But when time comes, we know what will happen.
Well, we don't know. I mean, we might get really angry and fight back. And
but instead of saying, oh, we shouldn't get angry, we should find a more wholesome way, that's just thinking. It's not accepting the condition of reality.
Right.
It's minding about the anger rather than.
Instead of planning now not to have anger in the future, just develop understanding now.
Not minding so much about one's chitta or one's.
That's right. And there's a whole range of reactions, but none is better than the other. Just different degrees of unwholesomeness and kilesa, or different kinds, different combinations.
But even if it is a wholesome one, no more worthy of being attached to them.
That's right. Even if there's understanding, it's only going to be.
It's only a conditioned reality for a moment.
There'll be some understanding among a lot of other
just like normal
people.
Just like now.
Just like
when there's no problem.
Yeah.
In a conventional sense.
That's
no
right.
Problem.
Yeah.
And one will realize that the best way is being aware of a reality, because there are so many realities, aware of a characteristic instantly.
So why don't we just talk about being aware of realities?
To be conditioned for awareness to arise now.
Yeah, have a little conversation about that. That was, in a way, quite difficult because it's it's hard to really see it and or directly understand the difference between Chitta and Chitta Seeker, it seems to me. I know how Ivan and Jonathan sort of feel about hearing details like that and contemplating that and everything.
Just showing that when one says it's their own self, so what are they?
What is there?
Yeah. They are not only Chitta or Chetasika. There are many realities like Chitta arising each moment and Chetasikas, many Chetasikas.
I think it's very useful understanding the difference between Chitta and Chetasika. For example, Chitta doesn't like or it doesn't dislike, it only experiences. Mm. So its function is only that moment of experiencing. So what is it that causes the problems? Not the experiencing, but it's the Chitta seekers that arise together with it, which have their own function. And the Lobha clings, but it doesn't do anything else, it just has that function of clinging, which is different from Sanya, which marks or the object at that time, but there can't be clinging if there isn't the marking, so there has to be the marking that goes together with the clinging. But why do we mind about seeing? Because it's just a moment of experiencing. But if one confuses the Chitta and Chitta Seeker, maybe one doesn't like the seeing or what's seeing, but one doesn't realize that it's not the seeing, it's a problem. It's not the visible object, it's a problem. It's not the marking or recognizing, it's a problem. But the clinging, which is. So I think it helps a lot to. Helps to develop detachment from seeing, which is just one. Just a moment of experience and nothing else.
Say, we don't have any problems in our life. All our problems are...
There is all the time.
Like?
The moment of reality arising and changing all the time is a problem. The unknown problem. Because you cannot solve. It has to be like that. You cannot have pleasant feelings there for days or hours. Even by conditions. Even right now.
Yeah, but what we conventionally regard as problems, as I said, family, work,
thinking,
health,
thinking.
These are
thinking.
Not problems.
They're not the real problems.
Thinking. Right. Only the body and pleasant feeling is dukkha, the real dukkha.
Right. So
the other dukkha is not the real dukkha. It's only the dukkha of defilements, of not knowing, not understanding the way of realities.
For example, being in debt, let's say, owing a lot of money, which
is not
a problem.
When you think, it's a problem. When you are fast asleep, no problem.
Probably a conventional problem.
Yeah, we have to. We have to give a lot of thought to these problems,
things
in our life, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We can't ignore them.
Yeah. If you can solve, it's good. But if it makes more trouble, it's bad.
So thinking makes more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can only think about these things mostly with Gilesa. So possibly sometimes the problems get worse, sometimes they get better.
By conditions again.
Wouldn't it be conditioned by past deeds rather than the thinking?
Thinking each moment is also accumulated from moment to moment as well. That's why people have different way of thoughts, different ways of thinking. So when one has debt, there is thinking, so it depends on right thinking or wrong thinking. To solve, to be able to solve, or to have more suffering or worry.
Right thinking will be thinking with
how to remedy the situation.
I see.
Yeah.
Wrong thinking, just be worrying, and be just worrying about it.
Could that right thinking
conventional right thinking,
but not.
Not the Sopanat Chetasika, no.
Not the Sopanat Chetasika.
No.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
that's useful to know about this conventional right thinking, right, standard right. Labor. Mm-hmm. Is that right? This conventional mm-hmm. right thinking.
Yeah. That's why we have to study what is the Abhidhamma, the absolute reality, mm-hmm. which is not the concept or the terms using in earthly life.
Well, like earlier when Jonathan was talking about, you know, getting on with his work or whatever, or ambition or whatever, you could say this is conventional right thinking. I mean, if you do A, B, and C, you'll just get the F and G result.
Because right thinking is the right way of thought, like not stealing, not doing things which harms the other.
From a Dharma point
of view. Dharma point of view, or the way you try to remedy the situation.
But it can be done with like that type of right thinking.
Certainly, yeah. When it's not dealing with Dana, Sila and Bhavana.
Okay.
So there is a word like wise attention.
Yes,
or think wisely. It doesn't mean that it is kusala at that moment. Mm-hmm. Just wise, but not right understanding of reality.
But can it be akusala?
It is akusala, because it can be craftiness, it can be wisely, but it's not kusala.
Like the burglar who, you know, mm-hmm. unlocks the
right.
system doing
yeah.
What about the medical student who's studying medicine?
The same.
Studying the kusala citta, but the right,
same.
Right
yeah.
thinking in the conventional sense.
Wise attention.
Wise attention.
Yeah, but not the sopana, jetasika, manasikara, no.
Not
the lopa. Lopa is wise in a way.
Yes, right.
Very, very wise in a way.
So that's an interesting topic though, actually, because sometimes in Dharma we hear lopa, and it sounds so ugly.
It is,
but,
it is.
But in a conventional sense, can be quite useful in our lives quite often
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to...
When it is
that.
Wise.
Mm.
Yeah. But still, it's lopa.
But still.
Some people are very clever at getting through life, honestly. And, well, but just clever at getting along and solving these problems that come up in their life. Clever
mm.
with money, clever with
yes.
dealing with people.
Like lawyer.
Well, it doesn't depend on their occupation, it depends on their accumulation.
No, no,
there may be little or no options.
Yes.
You know. So, on the other hand, as I say, it may not be dishonest or anything like that,
no.
just clever.
Can we say that some people are wise in cooking?
People are wise
in everything. In everything, yes. This is lopa, with wise attention, ajetasika, which is not panya.
What do they call, what is the Pali name?
Manasikara.
Is it yoniso manasikara?
Manasikara, yoniso shuti
kusala. Okay, it's just manasikara.
Yeah. Manasikara.
Is this, it's an accumulated tendency, is it?
Right. So that person like Einstein
yes.
was very wise in
yes.
doing things like that. Not understanding anything about reality.
So sometimes in the Jataka stories, it seems like the Buddha, whenever he wanted some worldly success in many lives, because of his wisdom, he could also quickly pick up a craft and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Was when he quickly understood how to do a craft in one of his past lives, or how to pick up a science, or how to become a good archer. Was that also done with lopa?
They are like the attendants of panya. But they are not the panya itself. Not the real panya. It's like the attendant or retinue or the followers of panya. Because the weaving of all realities can weave up a moment of having wise attention to such situation or craft.
But with lopa?
When it's not dealing with dana, sila, and bhavana, it has to be with lopa. When the feeling is indifferent feeling, but when the feeling is unpleasant, it has to be dosa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably sensible to devote a certain amount of our time to attention to worldly problems, because presumably, if one doesn't have any such problems, it's a blessing. like good health.
Hmm?
Well, like good health is a blessing. Not
for loka.
Financial worries.
Yeah, for loka. Blessing for loka. Not for panya. Loba. Attachment.
Also a blessing for development.
It depends if there is no accumulation of studying or listening or realizing reality.
There are a lot of Chai Chais in Hong Kong who have no money problems, no health problems, but just can they have any more understanding?
No, of course not.
Suppose if someone, like you were saying, a clever person that lives their life honestly and so forth and goes through and learns how to live a healthy life and they live to 95, but if they haven't, and they don't develop some understanding and some kusa, in a way, all those years haven't been a great benefit.
No, but the person who is developing understanding should neglect looking after bodily health, worldly affairs.
They still have loba. They still have loba.
They don't have to worry about it. They still have loba.
Yeah, we don't have to increase that loba right away because it's there, isn't it?
But loba is loba, ready for understanding to understand. No distortion.